Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
It's a humiliating defeat for Vladimir Putin's men, who have been forced to beat a hasty retreat, and a clumsy attempt to save face from Moscow, who says it's withdrawing to reinforce troops in Donetsk.
You know, armies are like people. They get scared. They find themselves in moments when all of a sudden all you want to do is turn around and run. And these are Russian troops, many conscripts among them, second tier. A lot of them have been killed, maybe 80,000 killed and wounded. This is not a red badge of courage moment. These troops are going to start rolling out. I think that's going to accelerate in the days ahead.
I hope he's right. That's the former commander of NATO talking about the weekend in which the Ukrainians took back about 1,000 square miles and have the Russians on the run. It's just absolutely fantastic. And so it's the worst moment for Russia since that opening weekend where they tried to take Kyiv and failed.
Yeah, yeah. And you take the victories you can get, and it is great. But I just saw the map getting ready for this segment, and Russia still controls a hell of a lot of Ukrainian territory, including the critical coastal areas, in terms of Uncle Momentum, he's definitely on the side of Ukraine again.
President Zelensky over the weekend said, these days the Russian army is showing its best, showing its back as they run away.
Oh, that's mockery.
And he said, in the end, it's a good choice for them to run away. There is and will be no place for occupiers in Ukraine. I'm freaking loving that. Absolutely loving it.
Well, interestingly, because again, the amount of ground gained, and some of it's very, very valuable ground, as Jack will probably get into here, railroad depots and that sort of thing, but they've retaken several significant towns and cities where the Russians had hammered the message, Russia is here to stay. Here forever. We're not leaving. Throw in with us. Everything will be fine. We'll protect you. Don't worry about being a so-called collaborator because we're not going anywhere. And then the Russians fled, turned their backs, as Zelensky said, and ran for their lives. So that word will spread to all sorts of places where people are trying to decide, all right, do I throw in with the Russians just to, you know, keep myself safe or not?
Ian Bremmer, some of his tweets over the weekend as he follows this very closely. Russian troops surrender of Izium, without a fight is the biggest loss in the battlefield for Putin since the initial efforts to take Kyiv. Pressure on Putin for a general mobilization and public admission that the special operation is indeed a war is growing quickly. A Moscow, did you hear this? A Moscow city district council called on President Putin to resign, almost unheard of in the Russian dictatorship, according to Ben Bremmer.
Wow.
And as to the significance of losing some of those towns, Ian Bremmer tweeted, the sinking of that Russian Black Sea flagship. Remember when that happened? That was an embarrassing moment for Putin, but had no strategic importance. Russia's military withdrawal today, this was yesterday, is a major loss on the battlefield and threatens to turn the tide of the war, which I hope is what's happening. Certainly looks like what is happening. But then you got this angle of it. As the Wall Street Journal editorial board, their lead piece today about Vladimir Putin being cornered. Remember all that talk at the beginning when Russia was on the run? And we get, you know, in the old saying, you know, never surround your enemy on all four sides and all that sort of stuff because you got to give him an out. Vladimir Putin is going to have to calculate how to respond at this point, says the Wall Street Journal. Western leaders have to be prepared that he will use nuclear weapons or attempt to involve NATO directly in the conflict. So we're back to that conversation. How far can you push him? How badly can you defeat his army without him going nuclear?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, but I don't know. I don't have any enthusiasm for considering it. We've heard it so many times.
You don't have enthusiasm because you don't think he would do it, or?
No, it just feels like the same old question with the same old unanswered, you know, factors, the unknowables. I don't know. I guess I'm just tired of that question.
Well, it needs to be answered. I mean, somebody's got to answer it. Do you?
Well, it can't be. That's my objection.
Well, it will be. They'll either continue, because we're a big part of it, we'll either continue to beat the crap out of Russia or decide, nah, we're going too far. There's a story in, in the Dispatch today that our officials had been telling Ukrainian officials to kind of ease back on this whole counteroffensive a little bit. That you're taking too big a bite of the apple. Ukraine either ignored that, or those reports aren't true, says the Dispatch.
Or they responded, it's our apple.
Which would be a good response.
Yeah.
But that decision does have to be made. It's either going to be, I don't give a crap, we're going to keep kicking his ass until he leaves our country, or you're going to say, I think we've gone as far as we ought to go before he decides to use some of his vast nuclear arsenal.
Well, you've forced me into the discussion. I would say, as a poker player, don't fold to somebody's bluff until they've gone ahead and bluffed. I mean, at this point, all he's done is made vague noises about history changing vengeance and blah, blah, blah. I think there's a long road before you have to worry about that sort of thing, including, you know, the domestic politics on the Russian side is so interesting and complicated. Where that flows, particularly if these battlefield defeats continue, do the Russian people say, yes, let's draft every young man in Russia and send them into this brave defense of the fatherland? Or will they say, what the hell are we doing in Ukraine anyway? We got to cut it out. Because Putin's support, though it is very, very tough to shake, it's not impossible.
So I really liked this story that was in the New York Times about how some of the pro-Putin, pro-Russia bloggers have turned on him. And this is where a lot of people get their information, because the only media you've got, you know, when you turn on the TV is the state media that tells you lies. But the social media bloggers have a way to cut through that. But the ones that are still allowed to exist have, you know, fallen out of windows accidentally or whatever. Have been pro-Russia, pro-Putin, but they turned him on him over the weekend, as the New York Times was pointing out, and I'll read a little bit of that because I thought it was kind of interesting. You're throwing a billion-ruble party, one pro-Russian blogger wrote in a widely circulated post Saturday, referring to Putin-led celebrations in Moscow commemorating the 875th anniversary of the city's founding. What is wrong with you? Not at the time of such horrible failure. Most of the people are in shock and did not think this could happen, said a person who analyzes Russian language news. Most of them are, I think, genuinely angry. One of the bloggers, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name, who's from Ukraine but moved to Crimea following its annexation, told his 2.3 million followers on Friday that if the military continued to play down its battlefield setbacks, Russians would cease to trust the Ministry of Defense and soon the government as a whole. Another blogger said in a video published on Friday claiming the Russian forces did not even try to resist as Ukraine's military swept forward this week. Posting videos of the of Russian military running away and showing all the equipment left behind. That's the sort of thing we're seeing on TV, but that's the sort of stuff this blogger with gazillions of followers was showing to his people in Russia. Look, our military's running away.
And what's really significant, in case you didn't like pick up on it, is the Russian military only tolerates pro-military bloggers, pro-Putin bloggers. You know, dead red, right-thinking types. And so the people back home, when they get the word from these people, oh, my God, we're getting routed. Our guys are running for their lives. This is a disaster. And Putin's crazy or stupid to be holding a big party. We can't believe this is happening. I mean, it's like if MSNBC, CNN, and the New York Times all joined together to say Joe Biden's senile and Kamala Harris is a moron. I mean, it's extra significant.
Some of the bloggers are embedded with the military, as Joe pointed out, preparing reports for television while providing more detail on what's going on. The anger of the Russian military's mistakes reached a fever pitch on Saturday. One of the bloggers called Russia's retreat, and he's embedded with the military, called Russia's retreat a catastrophe, while others said it had left the residents who collaborated with Russian forces at the mercy of Ukrainian troops, potentially undermining the credibility of the occupying authorities all across the territory that Russia still holds. As a result, analysts say Mr. Putin faces no good options. Escalating a war whose domestic support may turn out to be superficial could stir domestic unrest, while continuing retreats on the battlefield could spur a backlash from hawks who have bought into the whole Nazi thing. Yes, I'm loving this. It's falling apart on him. It took longer than we were hoping there at the beginning of this war, but it's really falling apart on him right now.
Yeah. I don't want to get too cheery about it just because I could picture them, you know, digging in and holding on to the coast, which is so important, then drafting a poor bunch of poor, unfortunate Russian kids and sending another wave of ill-trained boys at the Ukrainians next year just to save face. You know, and this thing could slog on and on, but boy, a lot of question marks.
Yeah, that's really fantastic, though. Really fantastic. I can't wait till the book is written someday on the involvement of the United States and NATO in what was going on there through this whole war. I did read one article, I think, in the Wall Street Journal about the, it was our intelligence that was involved in this whole counteroffensive. So, and we got the best stuff in the world.
Sure, yeah.
Awesome. What else can we tell you? You want nonstop Queen coverage? It's everywhere if you want it.
Certainly. People getting back to the office and remembering how many distractions there are and thinking, wow, I was a lot more productive at home. So it's the backlash to the remote working thing.
People going into the office and feeling like they got more work done at home.
Yeah.
Interesting.
They'd forgotten how, like, noisy and how many people drop in on you and interrupt you and the phone's ringing and that sort of thing. Also, have you heard about the Duke BYU volleyball racism scandal?
Yeah, we haven't talked about this.
There's been a turn.
It's quite the story. Yeah, if you're kind of familiar with that story, stay tuned for the latest on that. And as always, our text line is 415-295-KFTC.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
The state of California is going to be the first state to, how many times have I said that phrase? Is going to be the first, it's almost something, always something terrible too. It's going to be the first state to start naming heat waves like hurricanes. With a new bill signed into law on Friday by the governor. So more on that later.
That's stupid by Cal Unicornia standards.
Jimmy the Heatwave.
You've stunned me.
What the hell is going on?
I guess you'll say heat wave iris is ravaging Southern California.
No, I won't say that. I will not. Wow. Breaking new frontiers in dumb. So this story, we hadn't really talked about it. I'd only been dimly aware of it. Back on August 26th, a black player for Duke University women's volleyball team said that she had been heckled from the stands. It was a big, big volleyball match. It was 5,500 people were attending that. Duke was visiting BYU in Provo, Utah. Okay? So this black player for Duke says that they were heckling her and a teammate using racial terms of some sort. Racial slurs, if you will. And that night, BYU said, yes, I think we think we've identified the fan and they're banned for life from ever attending BYU sports. Well, BYU said Friday, after we'd gone off the air, that it completed its investigation into accusations of racial heckling and slurs at a volleyball match and found no evidence that the behavior took place at all, and apologized to the fan that they had said was barred.
Yeah, so following this story from the beginning, it had all the looks of, all the hallmarks of, I'll bet this didn't happen. I mean, it was just one of those stories where you thought, first of all, it's just kind of hard to imagine some fans in Provo, Utah, dropping N-bombs on some girl who's playing volleyball. It's just kind of hard to imagine. I know that sort of thing can happen.
Well, no, it's not necessarily N-bombs.
The original story it was.
Oh, really?
Yes, the original story was N-bombs.
Wow, they have really backpedaled then.
The original story, it was N-bombs.
Wow.
And then they started talking to people that were in the stands, and this was before the full investigation. They started talking to people. This was in the early days of it, because I was following it back then. And they're talking to people in the stands who are saying, I didn't hear any N-bombs. I mean, they just kept talking to person after person who kept saying, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't hear it. I was sitting right in the same section. So I thought, okay, I know where this one's going to end up, and that seems to be where we ended up.
Wow, unbelievable. Even the coverage in, I believe this is the New York Times, yes, the liberal New York Times, quoting BYU.
Well, first of all, you know, because you usually run this corner of journalism.
I work this beat, that's right.
It would seem somebody made this up. I don't know if it's the player or a fan or a coach or whoever made this up, but if you're going to make up a story like this, you have to go all the way. It's got to be N-bombs. Of course it does. You got to go big.
So BYU said, from our extensive review, we have not found any evidence to corroborate the allegations that fans engaged in racial heckling or uttered racial slurs at the event. As we stated earlier, we would not tolerate any conduct that would make a student athlete feel unsafe. So they not only did they question everybody they could find who sat anywhere near there in the stands, they had the university TV footage, which they could remove the play-by-play from, so they had all of the crowd noise on tape, and they can't find any slurs of any sort
right
during the entire matches. So imagine Duke University being involved in a fake woke race scandal. That would be shocking, wouldn't it?
Wow.
Lacrosse team, hello.
But it's just, it was so hard to believe from the very beginning. It was one of those stories where some fans were saying, come on, do you think we would put up with that? I mean, if somebody was yelling out N-bombs, we would all stand up and, like, point to them and say, get them out of here.
Or beat the hell out of them or whatever. Yeah. So Duke, of course, the university's vice president and director of athletics, stood by the women's team and said, all members of the team are exceptionally strong women who represent themselves, their families, and Duke with the utmost integrity. Okay. All right. Super.
Yeah.
Oh, University of South Carolina women's basketball team canceling scheduled games against BYU, including the season opener, because of what allegedly happened.
Really? Now that I hadn't heard. Yeah. Oh, my God. If you missed an hour of the show, get the podcast, Armstrong and Getty On Demand.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Men just don't work as much as they used to, especially young men, right? Teenagers 20 years ago, more than half of them, 16 and over, worked. Now it's one third. That's a big drop off in 20 years. And every one of the generations afterwards works less as a cohort than they did up until 55 and older, more share of men work than they did 20 years ago. That's weird. If we're like losing the idea that getting a work ethic, figuring out how to, wake up hungover and show up to work on time, to get the independence of having a hostile third party allow, pay you money to do indifferent work, that's important.
So that's Matt Welch from Reason Magazine, libertarian. That's a libertarian rag if you don't read it. On Bill Maher Friday night, where they were talking about a crisis among young men. What was that stat at the beginning there?
That it's gone from more than half of teenage men working to about a third.
In a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you'd gone back earlier than that, like when my dad was that age, it'd be practically all of them.
I'm thinking back to my circle of friends. I'm not sure anybody didn't work when I was a teenager. I can't think of anybody, even the rich kid that I was friends with, because there was like one. He had a part-time job.
Yeah. Practically everybody, and I'm struggling to think of anybody who didn't. And some of them, it was work on their own parents', farm or whatever, but it was still work.
I'm thinking of my circle of friends in high school, and I could tell you where each and every one of them worked.
Yeah. Well, that ain't the case now. Depending on where you live, it might be more or less likely. But let's hear.
Well, because you've got to get spectacular grades to get into the college of your choice to learn nothing, so you can get a diploma.
And the job I did, you wouldn't be able to get now because they hire undocumented workers.
Ah.
to do those jobs. Here's a guy, Scott Galloway, from who does a podcast on the same topic.
The most unstable nations in the world have one thing in common, and that is they have too many lonely, broke, and alone men. It's the most dangerous person in the world. Salman Rushdie wasn't attacked because of the fatwa. He was attacked because a guy was living in his mother's basement. We have a crisis among young men, and it starts at a young age. Young men are twice as likely on a behavior-adjusted basis to be suspended. 7 in 10 high school valedictorians are women. For every two female graduates from college in the next 5 years, you only have one. The scariest stat, walking down the avenue that is America, only 1 in 3 men under the age of 30 have had sex in the last year. And you hear sex and your brain fires. But the bottom line is, it's a key step to the elemental foundation of any society, and that is relationships. Men, young men aren't attaching to work. They aren't attaching to women. They aren't attaching to schools. We are producing too many of the most dangerous person in society. We're not going to have kids. We're not going to have a productive society. We're going to have more violence. And also, we're going to have a society that does not value young men.
Wow. There's a lot to unpack there. Holy cow. And we've talked about those individual things before. The fact that young men aren't having sex. Aren't getting girlfriends. I can't even wrap my head around it. If you're over a certain age, it's unimaginable. So you said every young man you knew had a job when you were young. How many of them were actively pursuing sex?
Every single one. Well, and that's an old story in political science. If you study various revolutions and unstable societies, as Mr. Galloway was making the point, a surplus of unattached, unemployed men is just a ticking time bomb. Always has been.
Usually, though, you're talking about some Middle Eastern country or Eastern European country or whatever. There are no jobs. That's why they're unemployed. And if they're not having sex, they're probably having sex. If they're not in relationships, there's some other turmoil that's going on.
The Chinese situation where you had the one-child policy and you aborted millions of female fetuses for years and years, that would explain why men can't get a woman, because there aren't any. But the idea that they just don't care enough to try, wow.
Yeah, we're voluntarily, so we got the lowest unemployment in the history of the capitalism. And young people aren't working, and the relationships are still available if you want one, but they just don't want them. It's a self opt out of work and relationships, which I don't know what's going on. What's in the water or the culture or something?
Or both. Yeah. It's funny. There are so many cultures that have terms for these grass fed men. I think they call them in Japan, and I can't remember the other ones, but it's essentially men who don't act like men at all.
How about working from home? Maybe that's the answer.
Dear young man, this work from home thing is a disaster. They need young men need guardrails. They need to know how to read a room. They need to put on a clean shirt. They know not to get high or drink too much during the week and then get into the office the next day. We have a crisis among young men. One of the most, in my view, one of the most dangerous things in our society.
Oh, that reminds me of something he brought up last segment was, and we've talked about this a lot too, but that whole 70% of valedictorians are girls across the country. Just the, I've seen it myself because I got three nieces that were all straight A students. I mean, just the culture among high school girls versus the culture among boys is so much different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting topic too, how we got there.
Do you have any idea why that is?
I really don't. Academia, education, which is way left, as we've discussed for a long time, was so down, so enthusiastic about the up with girls thing. I think this is a big part of it, and I'm 100% up with girls, too. I raised two of them. But the up with girls became down with boys in a lot of the world of education. And in ways subtle and not so subtle, schools have changed to be much more girl-oriented. You will sit still, you will listen, you will cooperate, you will not let off steam, you will not be energetic, you will not act like a little boy, or we will drug you. And I think even more than some of the direct consequences of that. I think there has been a cultural message being sent to young males now for a couple of decades. And I don't know how you folks would want to phrase that cultural message. I'd have to think about it. It's something like, the way you are and the way you behave is wrong. It's a pathology. You need to stop and act more like these human beings who happen to be females.
So are these things tied together, or is it just an unfortunate coincidence? The young men not working near as much, young men not pursuing relationships, and then, you know, the culture of striving in academics not being the same. Are those...
Together with the catastrophic decline in manufacturing jobs in this country. Yeah, I think those may be coincidental, but that often happens. You know, two things conspire to cause a huge effect that either one of them alone probably wouldn't have.
Yeah, the initial point from whoever that was about wasn't the fatwa that got Rushdie stabbed. It was a guy living in his mom's basement. We did that story, if you never heard of that. The guy was... What is he, 24, living in his mom's basement, just hanging out in the computer. In this case, mom was letting him. He wouldn't let me go down there, see what he was doing. If you live in my freaking house, I'm going in there and seeing what I'm doing, what you're doing. But, yeah, and he didn't have a job, didn't have a girlfriend.
He was a loser, classic loser. I like the cut of this Scott Galloway's jib. What else has he got to say?
A Tinder, 2-to-1 male to female. It sounds like a great idea. Oh, I can just order women like I do a pizza on my phone. I think I'll have the Kelly today. Except when you go on it, it weeds out the people who aren't the best looking, I think. Because, it used to be go to a bar. Okay, maybe it was potluck. But yeah. You have to be able to learn to 100%. Talk to a woman. I don't think they had to talk to a woman anymore because it's just on the phone. It's just like, what's up?
50 men on Tinder, 50 women. 46 of the women show all of their attention to just 4 men, leaving 46 men pursuing just 4 women. If we have huge mating inequality. And here's the problem. When people don't get together and there's no pheromones and there's no vibe, women primarily try and make very quick assumptions about this individual's ability to garner resources in the future. 10% of the men get 90% of the attention, which is not... lead to good behavior or form long-term relationships. Online dating is disastrous for mating and for men. It's terrible.
Wow, that's interesting. That is really interesting.
So the winners lose and the losers lose. Because the winners are getting all the attention from the women and don't have to, you know, of course, this has always been true of like really good looking dudes, but.
But he mentioned the pheromones and all the other stuff that can overcome a lot of that.
Right. Yeah.
If it's just a picture with no other context, things we understand and don't understand, that's even more of an unequal playing field.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a perverse way for two animals to get together for mating purposes. Huh. You know, there's one more clip I want to get to of this, and I think you'll find it really interesting after a quick word from our friends at Simply Safe Home Security. Maybe you do have a family. You've successfully met somebody and put together a household. Good for you, but you want to protect it from the randos and weirdos and criminals that they keep putting back out on the streets. Or maybe it's fire that concerns you. Plenty of folks in our audience can relate to that. Simply Safe Home Security, by far the best choice and less expensive.
So 24/7 professional monitoring, actual human beings, Simply Safe's agents. We'll call you the moment a threat is detected, dispatch police or first responders in emergency. Even if you're not home or can't be reached, they'll stay on the line with you until help arrives. That sounds like a really expensive system, but it's not. You can get this for around $1 a day, no long-term contract. This is something you set up yourself when you order it, and we'll give you the website here in a second, but this is just the best you can get.
Yeah, with plans starting at less than $1 a day, it's just not going to break the bank, and it shouldn't to protect your home. Customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes at simplysafe.com/Armstrong. Go today, claim a free indoor security camera and 20% off with interactive monitoring. Great deal. Go to simplysafe.com/Armstrong.
Well, as a guy who's got a 12-year-old and 10-year-old boy, this stuff is quite troubling to me.
You are definitely going to have to teach them how to deal with the currents of the 21st century world in a way that we didn't have to deal with.
Yeah, I was actually, I remember where we were the other day, and I asked how old you have to be to work here, because there was a young person, and my son Sam wants to get a job, so I'm hoping that that alone will get him into a different path than yes. the other path. I know it will, because I've seen how my nieces have changed a lot from getting jobs. But I definitely want to encourage the whole, I don't know, maybe I'll put them together, but get them on the whole, you know, have a girlfriend. That's the normal thing to do. Or I don't know what's keeping people from having girlfriends. Some of it, I think, is like fear, like of not getting the perfect one and being mocked for it or something. I've seen a lot of that.
Oh, yeah.
In a way that
guys with utterly unrealistic expectations.
Well, a buddy of mine who was my age used to hang around with a lot of younger dudes in his job. He was in sports broadcasting, so he was in his 40s, now 50s. And a lot of 20-something men, and he said it was so weird. They all belittle each other's, like, who they think is attractive, and end up none of them dating.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. I've seen that, too, the whole, oh, please, she's a toad. She's a pig.
Yeah, who you...
To some, like, really beautiful girl.
Yeah, you who you sitting on the couch with watching a movie tonight? Nobody? Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. And troubling.
God, I'd say. Anyway, you wanted more of this?
Well, yeah, we're kind of out of time.
Oh, I used up all the time with my nonsense.
Yeah, you did, usually. please.
You have any thoughts on that, man? That is like that one guy said, a whole bunch of not having sex, not working jobs, young men is not a good thing in any country.
Well, and as I've pointed out many times, if it was like elephants who were, they just stopped coupling, stopped breeding, or antelope, or any species of beast on Earth, you'd have biologists going crazy trying to figure it out because they know it would be a disaster.
Yeah, text line 415-295-KFTC.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
This idea of dumping these helpless people on buses and trucking them off to New York and Washington and Chicago is cruel and it's inhumane. and it does not represent who we are as Americans.
What's the cruel, inhumane part about it? Did anybody follow up with the question there? Probably not.
That's Dick Durbin, Illinois senator. By the way, Illinois is just, it's like Secretariat racing out in front of the other 49 states to be the first to the bottom. Illinois has terrible problems, politically, economically, governmentally. It's just a train wreck. But anyway,
the country pronounces the S when they say it. It's just a mess.
No, oh, it's so annoying. So that's Dick Durbin weeping about the incredibly cruel and abusive practice of the border state governors now busing illegals to sanctuary cities who've been swearing up and down for a decade or better that we welcome all people. No human being is illegal. We're a sanctuary. And then you deliver 15 of these people to their doors and they freak out and poo their pants. It's hilarious. And it's interesting to me, that whole, it does not represent as who we are as Americans. Every politician, whether it's Lori Lightfoot, Dick Durbin, Muriel Bowser in D.C., they all use that same sentence. It's obviously a talking point,
right.
They've come up with. So the headline is Dick Durbin joins a growing chorus of state Democrats who are criticizing Greg Abbott of Texas for sending buses of undocumented migrants to Chicago and other major American cities, calling it cruel and inhumane. Better they should stay in camps with hundreds of thousands of other illegals in Texas than ship a couple dozen to Chicago. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Man, usually on issues, I feel like, okay, there are points on both sides of the argument. This one is just, the ref has got to call it. It's unfair. But the majority of the media is not picking up on the story in the way that I feel like it should. That argument makes no sense whatsoever. I can make tons of arguments on why, if I'm an illegal, I want to be sent to Chicago or New York or someplace else and not be grouped here in this one spot with a gazillion other people struggling for services. Send me somewhere else. Get me far away from this border.
So sheriffs dealing with the crisis at the southern border are now blasting back at Washington and Chicago, et cetera, for declaring a public emergency over the migrants, bristling at claims that the buses have turned D.C. into, quote, a border town, which is, I think, what Muriel Bowser said. Says Goliad County, Texas Sheriff Ray Boyd, they haven't seen anything. They're not a border town. They don't know what a border town is.
Right.
Boy, that is just so galling and hilarious and pathetic. You've sent us 42 people, and now we're supposed to figure out how to feed them and where they're supposed to sleep? We're declaring a state of emergency. Say these sanctuary cities.
Some of them need medical care. Yeah, that's right. God dang it, that is really maddening. And I hate that they're getting away with this to this extent. So easy to be a sanctuary city when it's not an issue for you.
Texas, which has sent a few thousand immigrants up and east and west, etc. They mentioned that the Border Patrol has so far encountered 2 million migrants this year and untold numbers that they didn't encounter because they snuck through, gotaways, as they call them. Said the sheriff, I think it's all a bunch of political grandstanding, trying to get themselves attention, squeeze a little more money out of the federal government or somewhere else. If they want to see what it looks like, come down here, see. It's being shoved on us by the federal government and their policies and their lack of enforcement. Let's go ahead.
I'm going to say, how do you see this playing out? I'm hoping they continue the busloads of people and eventually win the argument.
Well, I think the reason you hear Bowser and Lightfoot and Dick Durbin spouting the same nonsense about this is not who we are as Americans is because they have nothing else.
Yeah.
If they had something other than empty rhetoric, I think they would probably employ it, but they don't.
It's pretty weak.
So I think it continues to go in the justice of reasonable, or in the direction rather of reasonableness. And I think Washington, D.C. is finally going to have to bow to pressure from the blue city mayors, which is exactly what Greg Abbott is trying to ratchet up. Well played, I say, sir.
The war in Ukraine's going the right direction. We're going to talk to Mike Lyons to kick off hour 3 about that.
Armstrong and Getty. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.